Romans chapter 2. Do you, O man, pass a judgment upon others? You are without excuse if you do. For whenever you judge others and then do the same things which they do, you are condemning yourself. Now, we know that God judges righteously when he judges people who do things like these. But you, O man, do those very things for which you pass judgment upon others. Do you really think that you're going to escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise his great kindness, his patience, his tolerant gentleness? Surely you know that God is kind because the goodness of God is leading you to repentance, but you have a hard and stubborn heart. And so you're making your own judgment even greater on the day of judgment, the day when God's anger and judgment is going to be revealed. So, as soon as you read about having a hard heart, you realize that you're hearing something similar to what was said about Pharaoh. Now, he hardened his heart, but God hardened his heart. Whereas the goodness of God is leading us to repentance. That is, God wants us to repent. God isn't indifferent. He's not far away from us, just facing off against us over a table with an open Bible on it. He's reaching across the table. He's trying to lead us to repentance. He's trying to bring us to actually come to repent. Rather than just saying, well, it's up to you if you want to be sorry, he really wants us to repent. So some will keep on in the doing of good, and they're seeking for glory, honour, and immortality, and to them God will grant eternal life. So if your heart's desire is the glory and the honour of being in the kingdom, and the immortal life of God's nature, God will give it to you. So it comes down to what is your dominant desire? Whereas, Paul goes on, others are self-centered, and they reject that which is right, so that they might follow that which is wrong. And on them God is going to pour out his wrath. And there will be suffering and pain for all those who do what is evil, for Jews first and also for Gentiles. Now that suffering and pain at the day of judgment, the rejection, is what Jesus calls weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that weeping and that banging of teeth in anger is not because God is sort of poking hot irons into you. It's people just being so angry with themselves for the eternal future that they missed. And so it's not that the pain is caused by God, it's caused by those who don't want to be in God's kingdom. But God is going to grant glory, honour and peace to all those who do what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Because God will judge all people according to the same standard. The Gentiles are without the law of Moses. They sin and are lost without the law. The Jews have the law and they sin and will be judged by the law. For it is not by just simply hearing the law of God that people are justified with God, but by doing what the law commands. Now I think Paul there is alluding to the parable of the builders, where Jesus talks about the person who hears God's word and does it, as opposed to the person who hears God's word and doesn't do it. And so here he says, it's not just by hearing that you're justified. And this is the trouble, that people think that just because I listen to God's word, therefore I'm okay. But that's not the case. It's not just hearing, but doing. So he goes on, the Gentiles don't have the law, but whenever they do by nature what the law commands, they are their own law, even though they don't have the law. And their conduct shows that what the law commands them is written in their hearts, their consciences also showing them what is true, since their thoughts at times accuse them and sometimes excuse them. And so, according to the gospel which I preach, this is how it's going to be on the day of judgment, when God, through Jesus, is going to judge the secrets, the inner thinking of people. So then, it is our inner thoughts, our secret thoughts, what you think when no one can see, that God is most interested in. Paul goes on, you call yourself a Jew, you who depend on the law and make boasts about God, you know what God wishes you to do, and you have learnt from the law to decide what is right. You're certain that you're a guide to the blind, a light for those still in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, and a teacher of the ignorant. You're sure that in the law you have the full statement of all knowledge and truth. You teach others. But do you really teach yourself? You who preach do not steal. Do you yourself steal? You who say do not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You who proclaims how much you detest idols. Do you rob temples? You who boast about having the law of God. Do you bring shame on God by the way you break his law? For the scripture says, because of you, Jews, the Gentiles speak badly about God. So if you obey the law, your circumcision is valuable. But if you disobey the law, you may as well never have been circumcised. For if the Gentile, who is not circumcised, obeys the commandments of the law, is God going to not regard him as if he was circumcised? God will regard him as if he were circumcised. And so you Jews will be condemned by Gentiles because you break the law, even though you have it written down and are circumcised. But they obey the law even though they are uncircumcised. And so who is a real Jew? Who are the truly circumcised? Is it not the person who is a Jew on the inside, rather than those who claim to be a Jew on the outside, with circumcision as a physical thing? No, the real Jew is a Jew inside, that is, who has a circumcised heart, and that is the work done by God's Spirit and not the letter of the law. Such a person receives praise from God and not from man. So then the real sign that we are God's people is the state of our heart, the state of our mind. And that is what is so critically important if we are Christians. What you are thinking in your heart, that is what is so important to God.